www.thebeatmusic.org.
A manager, the nightclub security officer, and the third victim being a patron who observed the shooting and attempted to assist by tackling the suspect to the ground. We were advised that the patron was pronounced deceased at UMC Trauma. He has been booked in absentia, and upon his release and medical clearance, he will be transported to the Clark County Detention Center, where he obviously faces numerous felony charges to include murder.
What possesses a 12-year-old boy to open fire at a Nevada middle school early on Monday morning? That's where we're at. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Sad to start the week off this way, isn't it? Can you imagine what that was like for those parents, for those teachers, for that school district? This is what we do know. The 12-year-old killed a mathematics teacher, wounded two boys before ultimately taking his own life. Kyle Newsom, a 13-year-old student at Sparks Middle School east of Reno, was one of the people that I saw his mug on TV a lot, because a lot of the television reporters, the NBCs, the ABCs and whatnot, were interviewing him, said that the kid was pointing a gun at the teacher after the teacher told him to put it down before the first shot went off. The teacher fell and people ran. They ran across the field. There was some chaos. There was four or five more gunshots. It happened so early in the morning, about 7:16 or so, they say, before classes got underway. So kids were eating breakfast. They were coming into the school, all that kind of stuff. Two boys were wounded and they were transferred to a local hospital. They're in stable condition with non-life-threatening injuries. That's the one silver lining in this. And the teacher who was killed was Michael Lansbury, a former Marine, a member of the Nevada Air National Guard, who last Friday celebrated a wedding anniversary. And he was an eighth-grade math teacher, was very, very popular, and he had a wife and two stepchildren. So apparently, the way the story goes is he tried to shield the kids from the other kid with the gun, but they're still investigating all of this. They're still trying to come up with the thing that you're always trying to come up with. Why did this happen? What was going on? How did he get the gun that his parents owned? What possessed him to go to middle school that day and decide that he was going to fire on two kids? And to open fire in general, what was that? What was the motive for the attack? What several of the kids were saying is that he had been teased, bullied, made fun of, that kind of stuff. And one of the kids was quoted as saying, and again, these are all rumors and other things that are flying around, but why are you making fun of me? Why are you laughing at me? That kind of thing. So he died after sustaining a self-inflicted gun wound. And once again, you have the 911 calls. You have the chaos of the moment where you hear people saying, we have a teacher down, now a teacher, a student down. And that massive panic by the parents who know that something's happening at the school are figuring out it's their kid's school, and they're rushing to get there to try to get the kids away from that situation. And, you know, this happened before in Nevada. I was thinking about this, Reno. In 2006, I saw a story about this, and it jogged my memory. There was a boy that came into school. He had a pistol, 38 caliber pistol. He opened fire at a different middle school, wounded a boy, a girl. They were 14. And the gym teacher in that case ended it by telling the boy to drop the gun and then hugging him, and that ended in a much different way than this one. That kid who was 14 at the time pled guilty to battery with a deadly weapon, got house arrest, and he completed 200 hours of community service. Wow. But a different scenario here, no such luck. And the kid's not fatally wounded, thank goodness, but a teacher no longer with us and leaves a family behind who seemed as though he was jumping into this to try to help the situation, to try to end this situation. So what do we do? I mean, it's another school shooting. You can't put kids in a bubble, but at the same time, you know, I say it all the time, can't we have some peace in schools and churches and where we work? Workplace shootings, church shootings, school shootings. You know, people are people. And whatever it is that makes somebody go to that place that they can't see clearly in mental illness, being picked on, bullying, full-on bullying, not being part of a cool group, whatever the reasons are. But the motives are the things that I think really we need to know, because it's better to know the motives to try to figure out ways to have conversations at schools, to try to make the kids feel comfortable, to do what you need to do to have those drills so they know where to go if something happens, instead of everybody's running all over the place. And I don't know, as I say that, it leaves my lips here at the top of this Hour of America Tonight. Maybe that's naive. I don't know how you can 100%, like I said, prevent this kind of thing completely from happening. You know, metal detectors, bars on window. There are a lot of inner city schools where they have metal detectors and they have that scenario, armed guards, check-in points. But you can only go so far. And if there's a will, there's a way, too. So there was a will for this kid. He had had it enough. He had maybe been picked on enough. We don't know that for sure because the motive hasn't solidly been established yet. But it sounds as though they're going to be able to come up with one. Who knows if he left any kind of a note. The parents, I'm sure, probably had no idea. And he got the gun from the parents' house and probably was familiar with it. If the parents knew what they were doing in that sense, they would have familiarized their kids with the gun so that there wouldn't be some accident at the house. But it turns out to be a terrible day at a middle school in Nevada once again because a 12-year-old opens fire, kills a teacher, and wounds two other 12-year-old boys. So we'll wait for the motive on that. Any great solutions, let's hear them. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. You know, there's a, it's gotten to the point where there are several websites that you can go to where you can order backpacks as shields for your kids. You can order vests that they can wear, bulletproof vests. And after Newtown, Connecticut, what happened there, they're selling like hotcakes. So you put your 5-year-old, cute as can be, kindergarten daughter in a vest, bulletproof vest to go to school, and you've got a backpack that she can hold up as a shield. Wow. I just say, what are we doing in this country? Just how far have we gone in a very sad, sad direction? But if you're a parent, there are concerns, no doubt about that. All right, the digits again to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283. Coming up, we'll also mix in some conversation this hour about the president and health care, to be sure, and a few other guests as well. Coming your way next, we're talking about the NSA and the repercussions with Ryan Morrow. Don't go away. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Previous show, the big shocker, I guess, the latest one from the Ed Snowden files, I'll call it that, because all this information is trickling out. And this one came out of the German newspaper. The fact is that apparently the NSA was collecting reams of information from a personal email account, the account of former Mexican President Felipe Calderon. And we already know about what's gone on in Brazil. You couple that with a few other things that have happened. And what's the reaction been internationally about the U.S. spying pretty openly with all this data dumping on several big companies, not big companies, big countries, and all of that information, like I said, trickling out. Some real specifics are starting to hit the pages of not just the German newspaper, but as you know, in England, a lot has happened there with The Guardian and, of course, The Washington Post. It's all over the place now at this point. I call the NSA the three dreaded letters. Ryan Morrow is the national security analyst for ClarionProject.org. We've had him on the show several times. We've talked about Ryan being a volunteer researcher for the Reform Party of Syria. Ryan, as always, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
So, first of all, Mexico, because Calderon's not in office now, but there was some, you know, pretty much anybody tight with him politically, or just all of the politics in Mexico, a lot of that came out, whether it was the war on drugs or different policies that Mexico had. I mean, basically, all the information that you could possibly pick out of his personal account, and there were some really damaging things that, as I keep saying, trickled forward. What do you think that does to the relationship with Mexico and the United States?
I think it's a temporary bump that we'll get over. And that's because both governments have an interest in combating drug trafficking and Islamic terrorists that are operating in Mexico. And honestly, even though I think that this is going, there's going to be international outcry, I think if you were to take a poll of foreign populations and you asked if they thought the United States, China, Russia, and all the other major powers were doing this sort of thing, I think the majority of people would say yes. So I don't think that this is going to do any permanent damage. And one thing that we have to consider is that Edward Snowden is the one who said that if he had wanted to, he could have looked at President Obama's private email. So this is an individual that is prone to exaggeration.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How much, because a lot of this isn't filtered through. So we hear the big bombshell comments. We see some of the maybe cables or some of the emails, and it definitely whets the appetite. I mean, let's face it. And then there's shocking giant headlines. But a lot of times when you scoop it down and you get underneath all of it, it's not quite as big as it was initially built. But that's intentionally, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's been the pattern throughout this entire NSA so-called scandal, where the media has to put a headline together that's just a few words, and so it's naturally going to be explosive. But then once the U.S. comes out and more specific facts come out, the situation becomes more understandable and more reasonable. And I think the classic example of that would be when originally Americans thought, millions of Americans across the country thought that their private phone calls were being listened into and recorded and stored in some database. And then it turned out that that's not what was happening at all. Actually, the NSA was just getting access to a database that stored what numbers were calling what numbers when, not the content of the actual conversation. And the reason they needed that was so that they could match up phone numbers with those that are calling Al-Qaeda members overseas. And it made complete sense.
Yeah, so, you know, when we do hear that side of it, when General Alexander, the head of the NSA, goes ballistic, there is some truth to there's no way you could possibly process all the data, correct?
Exactly. So the latest report in the French media is they're trying to say that the U.S. recorded over 70 million French phone calls in a 30-day period.
Mm.
We don't have the staff to do that. Come on.
Yeah, 70 million. And then we got to have that many people that understand French fluently. Not that it's a difficult language, but you have to have enough experts that would be analysts that would have to break it down to go through all the calls and figure out if any of them were worth keeping and who it is that you want to spy on because you think they have ties to some terrorist network, correct?
Right. So I think what this is, when the truth comes out, if I had to take a guess, I think that this is going to be essentially the French equivalent of what the NSA was doing with American telecommunications networks, where they just wanted access to the general data of what numbers were calling what numbers and when, so that if they had to plug in an Al-Qaeda member's phone number into a database, they could pop up and see which Americans were calling them. That's harmless.
How much do you think, though, this hurts the NSA?
Oh, it does a lot of damage because you said it in your opening commentary. You just say NSA, and it just has that uncomfortable feeling now. It's because of the movies and the sensationalistic headlines, and just there's just been so much negativity around it. But I do think that we've reached a point now where in the coming decades, or even the coming next few years, you're going to hear talk about international treaties in relation to intelligence monitoring and sharing of that information, because the treaties just have to be upgraded for the 21st century. Technology and the Internet progresses faster than international diplomacy does.
Yeah. And, you know, the other interesting part about this is in talking about trying to figure out, assess the damage to the NSA, but how about in trying to get more people? Because you really, in this kind of an organization, it truly is like the CIA in a different way, and the FBI, you want to get the best, brightest minds that you can get, especially in this day and age, to work for the company, let's say. And I wonder how much that hurts in recruiting people to come work for the NSA.
It might minorly, but I think that the individuals that care enough to join the NSA, I think that they are bright enough and they care enough about the issue to know the truth. So I'm not so worried on that front. What I am worried about is the damage it's going to do to intelligence cooperation we have with overseas and intelligence services, with foreign sources, because if you're someone who's, for example, a scientist in the Iranian nuclear program, and you're reading all these headlines about these leaks coming out of the U.S. intelligence community, are you willing to really risk your life and put your life in the hands of the American spies that have such a bad reputation? I don't think you will be.
Yeah, I agree with you there. The you know, as all this unfolds, do you think that there will be any kind of criminal charges or any kind of a deeper investigation into the NSA? Because as we're talking about headlines screaming this and what people are saying and cringing when you hear NSA, or do you think it kind of goes by the wayside?
No, I think that Snowden knows enough information. He knows how to create a headline that for the foreseeable future, he's going to find ways to create these type of headlines and keep attention on him. I think he's a narcissist, and I think that he's not going to be able to give up the attention. And you also have to remember, politically, you have the congressional elections, and then you have the next presidential election, and people are already positioning themselves. And so if this is an issue that continues to grab the attention of the public, it becomes a big incentive for politicians to frame themselves as the one who will protect you from the evil NSA.
Yeah. Ultimately, what do you think happens with Snowden? I mean, right now, asylum in Russia, and supposedly he's going to try to hopscotch to Latin America. That hasn't happened so far. What do you think his fate is?
Well, I look at the fate of Julian Assange, and then I have to look at his fate, and I can't be any more optimistic. There's plenty of countries that are going to be willing to harbor him, especially if he's willing to help them, advise them in terms of their intelligence gathering or pass along secrets or anything else that he has to offer.
Yeah. Do you, you know, in watching how that rolls out, and you mentioned Julian Assange, it's interesting because Assange, I think, totally was also embracing the accolades and the fame and just what was happening with WikiLeaks. And then the movie comes out, The Fifth Estate, and I realize it's Hollywoodized and all that. But, boy, he's kind of the forgotten man, I would think, or more people might have gone to see that movie just because of the curiosity of Assange. And the movie bombed. It was one of the worst bombs in recent history. Are you surprised more people just don't even care about that kind of stuff now?
Oh, I was shocked. I thought that movie was going to be big. I mean, it has the spy story element. It has this eccentric character. And it's all in the news. And I'm very surprised that it didn't take off, especially with everything that's going on with Edward Snowden. But a lot of these individuals, like Snowden and Julian Assange, they become almost like cult-like celebrities, where they have a cult following. And so if you're involved in that environment and you're basically worshiping guys like this, there's going to be a lot of people out there saying, that's who my hero is, and that's whose footsteps I want to follow in. So this is just going to become a bigger and bigger problem as time goes on.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Ryan Morrow, always fun to kick it around with you. We'll talk to you again soon in the near future.
All right, looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Three receivers stacked on the left, first and goal. Blitz up the middle, slant to the goal line to Terrence Williams. Touchdown, Cowboys! Touchdown, Terrence Williams!
Third and 10, Glennon, fumble the football, picked up!
Formation, Rams going from left to right, and a fake by Sam Bradford, deep drop, his throw gets hit, it's a flutter ball, intercepted, picked off at the 45-yard line, coming near side 40, Marlin to the 30, to the 25, still running, gets a block, end zone in focus, touchdown!
Rodgers under center, Brown's in a run blitz, Rodgers back to throw, as time throws it over the right side, he's got Boykin at the 5, reaching goal line, touchdown, and Jared Boykin has
Kaepernick's in a pistol form behind a turn, and it's a read option. Kaepernick keeps the ball running left. Driving 15, 10, 4 side 5. Kaepernick is home. Touchdown 49ers.
Harris ready to snap it back. He does. Here comes Nugent's kick. It's on its way. It's
going
to
be.
It is.
Yeah!
Yeah! Cincinnati wins.
All right!
On the final play of regulation.
Yeah, baby.
On a 54-yard field goal. The hero for the second consecutive week, Mike Nugent.
Kick is airborne to the uprights. He's sailing toward the sticks, and the kick is no good. He missed it. Off to the left. There's a penalty marker down.
On the play, first quarter by Condo. Dickens, number 94, for pushing the opponent into the pile. 15-yard penalty, automatic. First down.
Oh, that's a hose job right there. You want to talk about bad officiating? I put the damn team on the bus.
Snap on the spot, goes right to the right leg. The kick is driven through the uprights, and the kick is good. He got a second chance to win it for the Jets, and he did here in overtime. New York 30, Patriots 27.
It's a bad loss right there.
There was a bunch of bad losses. On the week, I'll tell you what, I'm in a pool. I was 9-6. Yes, indeed. Monday night ended badly for Minnesota, and not for the Giants. They finally pick up that win, 23-7. There were some strange things happened during, you heard some of that, during the week that was in the NFL. Now we head to week 8. The Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles, that game might have been the most boring game of the week. It was, you could have watched paint dry and it would have been more exciting. There were some close finishes where all of a sudden the game switched. For fans of the Jets pulled through and beat New England. It didn't look like that was going to happen, but in the end they won, so the fans went crazy there, and it was a home game, 30-27. For all of you who play fantasy football and you have Peyton Manning, he still put up some yards. That was our game of the week, our nail the score game. But in the end, his triumphant return to Indianapolis was not a win. Got a standing ovation. The fans showered him with love, but their Colts won 39-33. Matt, it was kind of a crazy week in the NFL where you had like four or five games that changed within 2 minutes left. Of course, that's, you know, anything can happen, and that's the nature of the game. That's why you want to look at a sports cliche. So many coaches will tell you, well, you know, it's four quarters of football right down to the last second. And they're right about that, because there were a couple of games, four or five games that changed sides, leads, that you know, where it fell apart in the end. Washington was one of those games, 45-41 over Chicago. Another game, Pittsburgh, came through in the end over Baltimore, 19-16. I was watching a lot of football over the weekend. I mentioned the Jets win. That was a big flip in that one. Detroit, they ended up losing to Cincinnati, 27-24. Buffalo ended up beating Miami, which had the lead, 23-21. So it was kind of crazy, wasn't it?
I'd say,
there he is.
I don't know. Like, it was overall, I'd say it was a pretty bad week of football.
It was a bad week.
There were a couple great games early on, but I feel like the late games in the afternoon were pretty bad. Sunday night football is good. You had Manning coming back to Indianapolis. And, I mean, if anybody, I feel sorry for you, anyone who watched that clunker that was on tonight. That was one of the worst football games ever played.
Absolutely.
The amount of Josh Freeman, who is round three in the quarterback carousel in Minnesota, he stepped up to the plate and set an NFL record for most overthrown passes in a game, which was 15, never handing the ball off to the best player on the team, Adrian Peterson. The Giants, who are equally terrible, but the Vikings made them look good. I mean, the Giants are bad, too, and it was two horrible football teams playing each other on a nationally televised game that it just didn't add up to good football at all. But it made for good Twitter fodder. I was following a bunch of people on Twitter that had a lot of funny comments about that. But overall, I mean, a lot of injuries, too. A lot of players going down. Reggie Wayne's done for the year. JaMychal Finley had that scary neck injury. Jay Cutler's got the groin. He's going to be out for a while. Sam Bradford's done for the year. Duck Martin's probably done for the year. You had a lot of players going down, which means you get backups coming in. And it's just, I mean, it was a little bit of a carousel of players.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. It was a bad weekend. And that's a good way to put it. It really was a crazy weekend, bad weekend in football. It's a good time to remind everybody, good football, bad football, doesn't matter. We have Nail the Score here on America Tonight each and every week. We do it on our really Thursday in the wee hours, third hour, last two segments of that hour. Randomly, the computer picks the game of the week, and then you don't have to know anything about football. Just tell us who you think's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. It's funny. We have Brandon Lang that will come on and break down games, and he looks at it from kind of a Vegas perspective. And Brandon Lang, the movie Two for the Money, Matthew McConaughey, Al Pacino, Rene Russo starred in this movie, and it was all about his life. And he, in the movie, just as he was doing when he got into the situation in New York where he was picking on a 900 line and giving people advice in one of those services would flip a coin. He knew all the stats and all the possible propositions of what could happen and weather and quarterbacks. But in the end, you know, you're picking a team, so it doesn't matter. So don't be intimidated. You can also send us your guests through the miracle of Al Gore's internet. Go to americatonight.net. Once we announce the game in those last two segments, you'll be able to do that, because we still have some football left to be played. But hard to believe, to be honest, to talk about a measuring stick, that we're already into week eight in the NFL. Week eight, where does the time go? You have a Thursday night game, you have the Sunday games, you have the Monday night game, and that's where we are at this point. Wow. Quick note here, Bud Adams, since we're talking a little football, to break up as we move along and lighten the load here on ATN. The Titans owner, Bud Adams, died at the age of 90. He was somebody who, from a historic point of view, was one of the founders of the American Football League and played a big role in the Houston Oilers, because that's what he founded. He founded the Houston Oilers, then moved the team to Tennessee in 1997 when he couldn't get the stadium. He wanted a new stadium in Houston, and he renamed the franchise the Titans, and in 2000, of course, reached the Super Bowl. And he was pursuing that for how many decades? But his 409 wins, I love this kind of history, his 409 wins were the most of any current NFL owner. He got his 400th win in the 2011 season finale when the Titans beat the team that replaced the Oilers in Houston, of course, the Texans. And certainly he was one of the founders of the game of professional football. He had a lot of input in the early days into what was happening. He was pals with Lamar Hunt, and they were the two that got together and announced the AFL would begin competing with the NFL. And they had a joint news conference in 1959. You have to go all the way back to 1959. And he, like I said, he had big influences on what happened in the early days of, you know, of football. And he certainly, off the field, having nothing to do with his investment in the great game, he was one of the wealthiest oilmen, period, probably in this country. ADA Oil Company is the name of the company that he ran, and it became... Of course, it was publicly traded, Adams Resource and Energy. It's a Fortune 500 company, and it's based in Texas, I want to say Houston. So he had ranching and farming and cattle feeding and real estate and you name it. He was involved in a lot of different ventures when it came to the oil business, and when it came to the game of football, he was heavily involved there. So Titans owner Bud Adams, dead at the age of 90. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, I always really hammer this home because we get so much email. And this is a smart audience. A lot of people who we don't hear from ever all of a sudden pop out of the woodwork. We get first-timers on the email and then people who consistently email us. But either way, when you want to comment on something and you're driving home and you're not going to call in and you can't remember the number, whatever, you can always hit us up at americatonight.net. You click on contact, and that's how you feed us your thoughts into America Tonight. So we're going to head to the mailroom now, and we're going to sift through all that email and pick a few of them here on America Tonight. Stay with us.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes, for today's modern smoker.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Traumamax. A high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com will stop it and most pistol rounds. Traumamax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
All right, I say this every single show, but it's worth repeating again. You know, sometimes you want to vent, you can't get to the phone, or you don't feel like calling, frankly, the show. You got one eye open, and you want to collect your thoughts even a little bit more. So here's the deal. You can always vent to us. Simply go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you're in. And maybe it's not about venting. Maybe there's something else that you want to share with America Tonight, like a hero in your neck of the woods where you're listening to us on one of our great affiliates. Please share that. We do a daily salute. Maybe we'll include them in the daily salute. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
First up, we got this one from Bruce in Illinois, and Bruce says, Kate, boy, I can hardly stand to listen to the president, I gotta be honest, and I voted for him, seriously, scout's honor, I voted for the guy, I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I can't stand to hear all the excuses coming out of the president's mouth. I mean, this whole thing about the website, the health website, and getting people enrolled in Obamacare, and it's a bomb because why wouldn't they have tested it, for goodness sake, after all the money they paid? It makes absolutely no sense to me. But nothing that the government does, and really, honestly, lately, anything that the president says, it doesn't seem to resonate with me anymore. I am disillusioned, to say the least. Yeah, to give you some hardcore numbers, about 500,000 people filled out apps, they say, for the coverage. But, you know, the problems with the sign-ups and getting kicked out, there are still people that are frustrated, can't figure it out, can't seem to get the right answers that they're looking for. The idea is about 48 million, supposedly this was the number that was earmarked, about 48 million Americans without health insurance would be able to seek it this way. And if you don't, you'll get penalized if you don't have health insurance by January 1st. And it varies from person to person as to how much you'll get penalized, whether it's, you know, less than $100 or it's a little bit more than that. It just depends. And even some of the people who are on the insurance side of it have complained about the websites. They say they're going to bring in more technical people, and they spent anywhere in the neighborhood of $350 to $390 million already. Wow. We are also in the wrong business. We need to be in the technical business, building websites and bidding on these contracts. Can you imagine? All right, here's one from Jessup in Missouri. Kate Delaney, listened to you now for a couple of years. This is the first time I have ever written into your show. I got to tell you, gal, I love it when you talk about football. I like your stories, and I like your sass, and I like the nail the thing you do. I can't remember what it is, but I enjoy it, and I'm going to start calling in on the nail the thing day. And I have to tell you, I think some of your picks are right on, sister. This is an awesome time for the great game of football. What do you think? What do I think? Of course, week 7 was crazy. I did terrible in week 7. And the one, the nail the thingy he's talking about is nail the score, which happens on Wednesday. And it happens for the last two segments of our third hour, Wednesday really into Thursday. For most people, it's Thursday in the wee hours. And our game of the week was the Colts and Denver. And, of course, Peyton Manning was coming back to Indianapolis. Everybody picked Denver. And who wins? The Colts, 39-33. Andrew Luck is a good quarterback. That wasn't taking anything away from him, I think, when people were picking Peyton. But they figured he, with all his swagger, 14 years of being in Indianapolis, he would come in and he would do some damage. But it was the other way around. In fact, they were lucky that the score ended up being really that way, because they were getting pummeled the first three quarters of that Sunday game, of that Sunday night game. It was terrible. All right, let's move on to, for Peyton Manning anyway, let's move on to this one from Sam, who's also listening to us in Missouri. Sam says, America Tonight, I don't know about you, but I don't think we need to blame anyone but the whole lot of them in Washington. Who cares if they're a Democrat? Who cares if they're a Republican? Nobody seems to get it. Nobody is getting the job done, so nobody's breaking through. Are there any people that are well-liked on either side that can seem to work with their opponents? We keep hearing that there's cooperation. We keep hearing that there's compromise, but yet we don't see it. I think it's a travesty that the government was shut down, and I think it's pathetic that in some cases we may end up paying people twice. Now, wonder why we're so damn broke. I understand why people are frustrated over our deficit. I'm as frustrated as the rest of you. I think you have to vote, and I think you have to vote a lot of them out. Well, that remains to be seen, because now there's time between 2014 elections and 2016. There's certainly plenty of time. So what are we be dealing with? News and cycles change so fast, with so much happening in and out of D.C., that who knows what the distraction might be or what the story might be. So while this is big now, how big will it be when it counts, when it comes to voting? That's the key deal. Here's one from John. John says, Kate, I laughed my head off when you were talking about the oarfish carcass on your last show. Oh, it was hilarious, the comparisons to the Loch Ness Monster. It is one big, ugly fish. I did what he said. I Googled it, and I couldn't believe how ugly the face of that fish was. Very, very strange in California. Well, the story is, if you missed it, they had one oarfish that was off the coast of Catalina, you know, the island, and somebody was snorkeling, and they helped pull the fish in. The fish was dead. It was the carcass of the fish, I think. And this fish was like 18 feet long. The second one washed up on a California beach, and it was 14 feet long. They say it can get up to 50 feet long, these oarfish, and they have the most bones of any fish in any seas anywhere. which is crazy. And it is really a strange, it is a scary, strange-looking fish, the face of the fish. And it's called an oarfish. I never heard of an oarfish before. But I'm not a fish expert. And looking at it, I said the comparison to the Loch Ness Monster because of the body of it and how you see those fuzzy shots on those cheesy magazines, National Enquirer or whatever, Loch Ness, evidence of the Loch Ness, and it would be, it looked like a washed out lens and you just see this big serpent looking body. And so it did remind me of a serpent. It's very, very strange. Karen says, Kate, Washington, so tired of it. I'm glad you mixed in some other conversation. There's only so much you can say about healthcare.gov, that crappy website that's not really fulfilling the needs of so many people who are going on, and only so much you can say about our lousy government. I think you nailed it, however, when you talk about the fact that Washington is too reactive. You've said that for years. And finally, they're starting to realize, hey, we're not about solutions anymore. That is the biggest problem. Yeah, that is the biggest problem because you're like a fixer, let's face it. If I'm elected to Congress, then I'm a fixer for my district. I have to go and represent the needs of the people that I am there to represent. They elected me. And it's not rosy and fun and woohoo, we had 10 parades this past weekend. There might be some of that, but most of it is about we need this, we need that, I'm fighting for your rights, I'm here to represent. It is about solutions, and maybe that somehow they've lost sight of that, that you represent and you're there to come up with solutions. You're doing that for the people that elected you. And that doesn't always seem to be what's happening. I think that's the one thing I will give Ted Cruz. So no matter what. I mean, it's true. He did say, oh, the people didn't want Obamacare. They said Obamacare. Well, they didn't. The people that elected him wanted no parts of it. It was a crazy, overwhelming poll in that San Antonio area that they definitely weren't backing it. And that's what he said. That's what he said when he said to stymie it, to defund it. He was doing the will of the people in, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, the people in his district. So, you know, the rollout has been a fiasco, the shutdown a fiasco, and certainly that's not lost among all of you. That's why we still are getting a lot of emails to that fact. All right, here's one more, and this one is from Matthew, who is listening to us in Texas, and he says, really enjoy ATN. Have to tell you, this state does not have healthcare exchanges. It makes sense to me because I don't believe the coverage that people think they're going to get is what they are going to get. And I do feel sorry for the people who have been misled and think it's some sort of free. It is not free. In most cases, if somebody is indigent, how are they going to be able to afford affordable healthcare? You're not going to be able to afford affordable health care. Hopefully there's something else there for the people who can't do that. And there are programs. Certainly there's CHIPS for kids and all of that. But, yeah, therein lies the problem. Economically, everybody is different. All right, remember, you want to send me an email, it's very easy to do, americatonight.net.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.